is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
After welcoming my colleague and friend Simon Constable in Occitane, near Albi in the south of France, paradise, always beginning on the first day of spring, to see how good the weather can be in the south of France. Simon, a good day to you. I'm proposing this is the first day of spring, and what is that like in and around Albi? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It is springy, sunny, light temperatures, about 70 to 71 Fahrenheit, very light breeze, if any. Lots of butterflies out there, a lot of birds squawking, and very happy animals and very happy people, too. It's lovely.
Wonderful. So we go to commodities, which, because there is a war in the Middle East and a war in Europe, we suggest there should be or could be or will be reaction by commodities sensitive to the dollar, sensitive to the central banking, and especially sensitive to what appears to be a new front in Ukraine war. Over the last weeks, Ukraine has started launching its fleet of drones against Russian refinery capability. On a 1,200-mile arc through Russia, these refineries. Remember the joke about a gas station posing as a country? Well, according to Bloomberg, within these last hours, at some point, 11% of Russian refinery capability has been offline. Simon, do we see that in the Brent crude number that is Europe's bellwether?
Yes, we do see that. It's really quite a stark move up. We see it now. It peaked at about 87 a barrel, and it's now down to 86, which is a lot higher than it was a week ago. That is a sign that you've basically seen a million barrels plus of oil, of daily production, been knocked out of the refinery process. And that's going to hurt Russia in two ways. One is they can't sell the gasoline to be able to use, but also it's going to affect its military. So when tanks go into battle, they use gasoline to the extent that it is gallons per mile. Now, when you've got your car at home, you're thinking of miles per gallon, but it's the other way around with a tank. So they need a lot of gasoline and oil to conduct their efforts on their offensive against Ukraine. And knocking that out is basically helping to knock out the army, the Russian army, in some ways.
There is also an item, I believe it's in Bloomberg, to say if the Federal Reserve moves to cut rates in any fashion, the West Texas, which is the bellwether here in the U.S., will go over $90. Is that consistent with your analysis, Simon?
Absolutely. It's consistent with my analysis. I would see this going up well into the mid-90s, possibly nearing 100 here in Europe. And that would not be very good for the European economy, which is in the doldrums at the moment. That basically means it's flatlining most places across Europe. So not a good sign. And I think that will happen.
And the ECB has already promised one cut, probably in June, but I can't see the future. So we're looking at the central banks fighting inflation while everybody else plays for the price of gasoline and refined products. That means diesel. That's what Europe depends upon. That's what the farmers around Simon depend upon, diesel oil. And they've already been complaining, Simon, about the price of diesel. So we've got a summer ahead as the Ukraine offensive elaborates, and we'll see more of it. Russia has a problem. And right now, the answer is to mount huge machine guns around refineries. There we've come, finally. Mad Max, it's in front of us. Simon, I want to go to the story that is positive about inflation. This morning, we have news from the United Kingdom that the inflation in your home country has gone from 4 to 3.4%. It's not a great deal, but it's certainly the right direction because the UK, as you evidenced last week, has been dipping in and out of recession. Rishi Sunak needed some good news. Is this enough, Simon?
Well, he's hoping it's enough. I'm not so sure. The cost of living crisis is still well engaged in the UK. People are feeling the pinch because it's not just the cost of goods. It's also the cost of mortgages. Housing prices are very high in the UK relative to income. And in some cases, they're just completely unaffordable for young buyers. So it needs more than just inflation to come down. It needs interest rates to come down, and possibly it needs inflation to go negative to sort of undo some of the things that have happened over the last 2 years. I don't know that this will be good enough, but who knows? A week is a long time in politics. It might have completely gone a lot better by this time next week. Who knows?
Keir Starmer is measuring the drapes for number 10. There are a series of what you'd have to say soft news stories about his home life and his childhood and his opinion. So we're getting ready for the Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer is the barrister who leads the Labour Party after Jeremy Corbyn's disaster. And because the polling points to a Labour victory, the magazines are all keen on Keir and his life. And good for him. He's worked a long time. Rishi Sunak hasn't given it up. There was a question of replacing him before the general election, but I believe they're going into summer recess and Easter recess. Simon, now we turn to something you've contributed, making everybody feel less than sharp about hacking. You put up a quiz in the Wall Street Journal. What was the intent? What was the scale? What did you hear about it?
Well, I put the cyber hacking quiz up based on pop culture, i.e. things that get making it into the media, not deep in the weeds sort of stuff. And the idea was to educate people about what hackers have been doing over the last 50 years or so, and in one case, a lot longer than that. And the idea was, look, it doesn't matter whether you got the question right or wrong, you will learn something from doing these 10 questions. It was certainly not to make it easy, and it wasn't about doling out basically thumbs up and little gold stars for people. But it was interesting. And I, to be honest, knew none of the answers to these questions that I posed until I'd done the research.
Yes, I will read one that doesn't depend upon you knowing the names of hackers. This is number 5 of 10 questions that Simon puts up in the journal. You can all go there and take the test yourself and be educated. The U.S. government recently highlighted China's interest in hacking which of the following? A, water utilities. B, defense businesses. C, military targets. D, airport systems. We will give a moment here for everybody to gather their wits. Simon, how did you do on that particular question?
Well, I did pretty well, given that I'd done the research. But it's E, all of the above, which you omitted to say that, which was a tiny bit naughty. But it's true. It's all of the above. And I probably could have gone from A to L and put down a whole load of other things that the Chinese government is accused of doing in terms of hacking in the U.S. It could be a very long list.
Yes. In other words, change your password every 90 days or better, and be very careful and cautious and have your system looked at. Russia is also in the field, although they're more into theft than they are into stealing secrets. But the hackers are always with us, always awake. Simon Constable is in the south of France, where he's made it very clear it is paradise. And there's good inflation news back in the UK. We'll take it for the moment. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.